With you guys. We're going to get our Bibles open to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in chapter 2. I kind of feel like I'm cheating reading kind of 2 full passages, because we're actually only going to be thinking about 2 words together. I kind of might be cheating for sermons, but we are just going to think about 2 words, and I'll explain that in a little while, but they come in the context of this section of 2 Timothy. So let me read to you, first of all, tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through to 14, 13, and then tomorrow we'll pick up again at verse 14. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Friends, we should pray. I haven't preached a talk at 9 o'clock since I did youth work, so it's kind of, this is probably a novelty. Lots of you are kind of wrapping it up at this time of night, I'd imagine. Some of you are just getting going. But we need God's help, so let's pray together, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, it is good for us to be together. Father, we thank you for the many different journeys that we represent to be here, not just physically today to get here, but journeys of your grace in our lives. And Father, you tell us in your word that as we come before you and we ask you for the Holy Spirit, you love to give him to us. And so Father, please tonight, would your Holy Spirit be working to take the truths that we find here in perhaps a very familiar part of the Bible to some of us, and to bring them home to our hearts, to help us on our journeys in serving you and in following our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please do us good tonight, not because we deserve it, but because you are a good, good God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, I very simply want to give you 2 words that we're going to spend the next 2 sessions that I've been given together. Now, hopefully they should appear on the screen. So here they are, the 2 words, remember and remind. Now, just to audience participation to keep us awake, can we say those together? Remember and remind. And I hope that these 2 words, if you take nothing else away that I say from this conference, I hope that these 2 words will become part of your survival kit for whatever ministry you return to or you head on to do. Remember and remind. There are actually 2 commands that we find in this letter of Timothy, as Paul commands Timothy to remember something and to remind people of something. Now, why should we spend 2 sessions thinking about these 2 words? Why are they so crucial? Why would they be part of your survival kit, whatever you go on to do from here? Well, to understand that, I need to introduce you to a character who's very popular in our house, Mr. Forgetful. I know I'm not doing a kids talk, by the way, but he's just a character. And when you've got small kids around, it's all you think about is this kind of thing. We've got six kids, and we have a very well-thumbed set of Mr. Men books in our house. And if you don't know the characters, they're all named like this, Mr. Forgetful, Mr. Happy, all these kind of things. And Mr. Forgetful, as his name suggests, he just forgets everything. And I want to say to you this evening that in this character, in this kind of picture of this character, Mr. Forgetful, we have pictured for us a deeply ingrained spiritual problem that is in all of us in this room. And it's the problem of forgetfulness. It's the problem of spiritual forgetfulness, of God forgetfulness. Dare I even say it, in a room of people who are hungry to do ministry, forgetfulness of Christ and his cross. And this problem of forgetfulness has come home fresh to me recently, which is why I kind of want to speak on it here for a little while, because I'm about to start preaching at the church to which I belong through the book of Deuteronomy. And 14 times in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to his people, "Do not forget. Do not forget me," he says. "Do not forget the covenant which I have made with you, this wonderful set of promises, this commitment I have made to you. Do not forget the amazing events of your rescue out of Egypt to be where you are today. Do not forget the way that I have conquered these two kings on the other side of the Jordan River. Do not forget." And if God addresses his people by saying, "Do not forget," it probably implies that they're prone to forget. They, like we, are forgetful people. And in fact, as you trawl your way through the Old Testament, and by the time you get to the prophet Jeremiah, God's great kind of words, his great judicial accusation, as it were, against his people is that you have forgotten me. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that these things happened to them as examples and were written down as a warning for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. That includes Israel's forgetfulness of God. It includes all the consequences of their forgetfulness. And so Paul goes on to say, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." You may have read kind of what's best next. You may have read Tim Chalice's Do More Better. You may have the best organizational systems under the world, but we have a problem ingrained in our blood, and it's the problem of forgetfulness, of God forgetfulness. And we need to understand that kind of is like a Bible backdrop. It kind of hangs behind the whole Bible story. This forgetfulness of the people of God. And it's part of the great problem, isn't it? Why a group of us sit here with an identification that we need a savior. Because we're so prone to forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is a real problem for all of us. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus. And that is first and foremost what we are here. Before we're in ministry, before we do anything else, we are disciples of Jesus. And it's a problem. We are prone to forgetfulness. But given we are here at the Hub Conference and we're here to think about ministry, I want to think particularly about the dangers of forgetfulness when it comes to Christian ministry. Which brings me back to these two words in these two sessions that we're going to spend together, these two commands of Paul to this young pastor Timothy, and these two commands to remember and to remind sit on a Bible backdrop of forgetfulness. And the first of these words is remember. See, if forgetfulness is my great problem, if forgetfulness is our great problem, then remembering is our great need. So you just look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. This is really our text for this evening. 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. It's a verse that many of us will have known. Some of us will know different songs to it. If you're Colin Buchanan fans, you'll know the Colin song. But it is this: remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead and descended from David. And there's a beautiful little bit which is part of another sentence, but says, "This is my gospel." So you'll have heard the phrase, won't you? When the going gets tough, how does it finish? The tough get going. Now, if Paul was standing before us tonight at the Hub Conference, if we were able to rally in the Apostle Paul and, you know, he was going to give us some kind of pep talk for ministry, would Paul be standing before us tonight saying, "Listen, guys, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So come on, get going." Is that what he'd say to us? No, I don't think it is. I think he'd be saying this: when the tough gets going, when ministry gets hard or the journey into ministry gets tough in some kind of way, the tough, that is those who endure ministry, those who are going to last the course, the tough, well, they get remembering. They get remembering Jesus Christ. See, this command to remember follows on from Paul's command to endure. So come back with me to chapter 2, verse 3. If you've got the newer version of the NIV, it says something slightly different. But in this version I've got in front of me, it says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." I think the new NIV sort of smooths it out and says, "Join with me in suffering." Is that what it says? I haven't got the new one. "Join with me in suffering." See, that is the call. Literally, kind of stand with me, Timothy. Embark with me on this journey of suffering. Now, friends, we don't know each other very well, and I don't know what the particular areas of suffering that you are being called to join in are at the moment. It might be that some of you are kind of on a journey into ministry, and you're facing the trials and the struggles of parents who do not want you to jack in that career that you've worked so hard to get, and they're frustrated with you that you might even be thinking about bailing out and going to do church stuff. Who would want to do that? For some of you, it's the struggles and the tensions of thinking, well, what do I have to let go of in order to embark on this life of ministry? What's it going to cost? And maybe that's where the tension and the struggles are coming. When the going gets tough, the tough, those who will keep going in ministry, as it were, get remembering. See, Paul links together endurance in ministry with our remembering of Jesus Christ. You see that link? That means that remembering, the act of remembering, the art of remembering, really, really matters. To remember something literally is this idea of keeping it coming to mind. Not letting something kind of drift off and be forgotten, forgetfulness. It's to keep bringing something back to your mind. Like those days of carrying around your revision cards. And anyone used to do that? When you're walking down the street and, you know, you're just trying to remember everything for that exam that's coming up. Some of you, it's very real for you because you're already still doing exams. Some of you, it's a dim past and you think, "No, I didn't even revise." Some of you are sitting there thinking. But it's that idea, you know, I bring this because it brings it to my mind. It keeps it in my head all the time. If you're anything like me, we live by our Google Calendar, and my Google Calendar is constantly bringing things to mind. You need to be at this meeting in 1 hour's time. Ding! It brings it to mind. That is what remembering is. And Paul says to Timothy, this young pastor, and in turn to us, when the going gets tough, don't drift off into forgetfulness. Don't be so consumed with the toughness that you forget these things, but instead remember, bring to mind, meditate on, chew on Jesus Christ, raised from the dead and descended from David. See, when the going gets tough, God gives us a positive action to do in the face of forgetfulness. Remember. It is a deliberate and intentional action. Now, the question, I guess, that I just want to kind of grapple with a bit is then, how does that help you to keep going? You know, when things are tough, when you're facing perhaps struggles, either on your journey into ministry for whatever reason, or because you're already doing ministry and there's tough things going on and you're suffering in aspects of that, how does remembering Jesus Christ help you to keep going? How is it the key to endure? Well, first of all, simply this. Because as you remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, it reminds you that there is no one better to suffer for. There is nothing better to suffer for. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and for the last few years, every year, we've done the Sprout Challenge at Christmas. Now, for the five of you who like sprouts in this room, you won't understand this illustration, so forgive me for a moment. But me and my daughter are sprout haters. And so every year, under the kind of watchful eye of our wife, we are to eat a sprout, just one. That's all we have to do, just one every year. And so we sit there with our fork, we kind of eye each other up, and we're like, come on, you can do this, you can do this. And then what we normally do is we kind of pop the sprout in, but there's always a prize at the end. So we always get like a chocolate afterwards, or we get to ram our mouth full of something that tastes a lot better than the sprout. Now here's the thing. The sprout tastes disgusting, but you can endure it because the prize is so much better. The chocolate that's on offer at the end means you can endure the sprout, not just the wrath of Emma for not eating the sprout, but this idea of eating the sprout because the prize is good. I endure. And friends, in a kind of a non-jokey way, as we remember Jesus Christ in our sufferings and in our trials, we remember that the prize of Jesus, who he is, far outweighs the pain that we may be suffering for Jesus. In calling Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead and descended from David, he is calling Timothy to bring to mind the gospel. That's what he calls it, isn't it, in the very next sentence. This is my gospel for which I am suffering. See, this gospel word, you know, we're so familiar with it that I think sometimes we lose its impact. You know, we sometimes deem it good news. Well, yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, we say, well, Next has got a sale on, and that's good news. But it's not that kind of good news. The gospel word means something that is life-changing. It is world-transforming. Now, unless you're a really big Next fan, that is not what the Next sale is. But Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, that really is good news. And when we get our heads around that good news, and when we meditate on that good news, and when we keep that good news churning over and over and over in our heads, when life is tough, it will help us to endure. And it's very interesting because the way that Paul words verse 8, his summary of the gospel, you see this? Because I wonder if, you know, if I had to say, okay, you've got a sentence to summarize the gospel, would you have summarized it like he did? But what Paul does in summarizing the gospel in this way is he takes this word and he underlines particular bits of the gospel that help us to endure, that help us to meditate on the things that will help us to keep going. See, if I could put it like this, Paul wants Timothy to bring to mind two things about Jesus when the going gets tough. Jesus is raised and Jesus reigns. Jesus is raised and Jesus reigns. He's a living Savior and he is a living Lord, even over the sufferings that you may be facing. See, just work with me through the sentence. I think that's what Paul intends us to do. Remember Jesus Christ. So this is what remembering is, okay? You just put it in your head and you start to think about it. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, elsewhere in this letter, the thing that you've got to sit up and take note of here is, elsewhere in this letter, it's always the other way around. Did you notice as you've read 2 Timothy? He always refers to him as Christ Jesus. But here he refers to him as Jesus Christ. Now immediately you're starting to think, well, why have you done that, Paul? Have you just forgotten? Have you got a bit backwards? No. He's underlining a certain aspect of the gospel to think about, to bring to mind, to remember. See, here he flips it round. Why? Because he wants us to think about Jesus, the man who shared our flesh. He wants us to think about Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Galilee, crucified in Jerusalem, he appeared as one of us, and he suffered instead of us. bearing upon himself the death that God promised all the way back in Genesis 2. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And here he is on a tree, bearing the consequences. It is that Jesus that he wants to bring to mind as he flips it round. Jesus, the man who suffered in our place. But now, how does he go on? Raised from the dead. He underlines an aspect of Jesus. We brought to mind the man of sorrows who suffered, who struggled in our place for us. And he's raised from the dead. And the language here used carries the sense of still raised from the dead. See, look with me at chapter 1, verse 10. There's lots of wonderful little scatterings of descriptions of the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What evidence is there that death has been destroyed? It's a Saviour who's raised from the dead. What evidence is there that life and immortality has now been brought to life? It is a Saviour who lives. He's raised from the dead. Remember, when the going gets tough, remember that Jesus is a living Savior. He's the one who has life in himself. He's the one who won life for us at the cross. He is the one who can now give life, eternal life. He is the one who has given you life as a follower of Jesus this evening. And see, look at chapter 2, verse 10, how Paul goes on. He says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. How good is Jesus, as you remember him, the one raised from the dead? He is the one who can bring salvation. Again, a word we're so familiar with, but it is such a rich Bible picture. We have saved from something. And we've been granted eternal glory. He gives salvation to people, moving people from death to life. Wherever this gospel is preached, that is the effect that it is having on people. And he is descended from David. So he wants us to remember Jesus Christ, the man who suffered, the one who shared our flesh. He now lives. He's the living Savior. But he is descended from the King David that we meet in the Old Testament. Literally out of the seed of David. Bringing fulfillment to all those promises that God made to raise up a leader who would rule over heaven and earth. He is the one who has the name that is above every name. All authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to him. Do you believe that? Because if you bring that to mind when you are suffering, it will help you to endure. Because we remember how good he is. Jesus is the living Savior and he is the living Lord. And when the going gets tough, whatever stage you're at in that journey to ministry, whatever stage in life we might be at, whether we're just kind of serving in our churches, getting busy alongside our jobs, or whether we're here and we're in full-time Christian ministry, when the going gets tough, remember, keep bringing to mind Jesus Christ. Bring to mind the gospel. There is no one better to stick with. There is no one better to suffer for. There is nothing better to endure for. There is no one else who can bring eternal life in this world. There is no one else who rules over everything, including the struggles you might be having tonight. The pain might be great, but the prize of Jesus is much greater. I was thinking this week, even as I was prepping this, of the words of Peter, where he said, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. There's no one better to suffer for. The second thing I want us to see, though, tonight is remembering is our great need. And why does it help us to endure? Well, because of this. Because it reminds us that suffering is part of the path. We recently got a puppy as a family. You can come and consult with me privately whether that was a good idea or not, but we can talk about that. But as expected, having a puppy is jolly hard work. And he chews everything in sight, including us and our children. And at first when she came home, I won't get graphic in case you have a disposition, but she made a mess everywhere. I'll let the reader understand. And there are moments where we wondered to ourselves, have we done the right thing? This is crazy. Our world's just been turned upside down. It was already pretty chaotic, but now it's even more chaotic. And we used to look at each other and we could tell, we didn't even have to say words, just that look across the room, have we done the wrong thing? But in some of our more despairing moments, experienced dog-owning friends have come alongside them at us, and as we've wept on their shoulders and been through this whole process, we've said to them, look, have we got some feral beast in our house? Is this just a complete disaster? And they've just said to us, no, don't worry. That's normal for a puppy. That's what they do. They chew everything. They make a mess everywhere. And eventually they grow out of it. It will pass. And Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. As he calls him to remember those truths, he is deliberately calling Timothy to remember that suffering was the Saviour's path to glory. Jesus owns his own ministry in our salvation required endurance. Paul is coming alongside Timothy and he's saying suffering is normal. Jesus faced that in suffering, didn't he, unto death. And suffering is not a problem with our ministries. See, we're often prone to think like that, aren't we? If there's any sort of bump in the road, then perhaps we're doing it wrong. But suffering is not a problem with our ministries. It is the pattern for our ministries. Suffering is the path of ministry that ends in resurrection glory. See, just look at how Paul puts it again in verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See that path? That they may attain this salvation that leads to eternal glory. You see, when we forget that, when we forget that suffering is part of the path, part of God's great plan in how he's working out things, when forgetfulness kicks in, then we won't endure. We won't be willing to endure. We'll be discouraged and downhearted. We may even be tempted to give up. But remembering, bringing to mind Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, bringing to mind constantly the events of Easter and that Easter Sunday will help us to remember that suffering is part of the path that we are called to go on. See, it's the path that Paul now walks, isn't it? Verse 9. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. See, I guess many of us, and I'm not quite sure where this comes from, and maybe you can help me later, but I guess many of us are wired to see kind of suffering as a hindrance. Oh man, you know, that my ministry's been stopped because I'm suffering in this kind of way. But actually these verses here, remembering Jesus Christ, reminds us that actually it's not a hindrance, but it's often the path to fruitful ministry, to successful ministry. You see, doing so reminds us that suffering isn't a hindrance. The sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Paul, did not stand in the way of the gospel advancing. That's why Paul underlines it, that where he says, but God's word is not chained. God is using our sufferings. He can use our sufferings to do great things, to bring salvation to others, just as he did with Paul. You see, when we forget Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, we'll forget that suffering is part of the path. Suffering is part of the journey. See, just look with me at the little trustworthy saying in verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying, Paul says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endured with him, we will also reign with him. But if we disown him, he will disown us. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. See, verse 12 and verse 13 put before us two ministry dangers of forgetfulness. When we forget Jesus Christ raised from the dead, there are two particular dangers. Number one, you disown him. This is too tough. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to bail out on this. Thanks, Jesus. It was good while it lasted, but this, I can't do this anymore. And that comes from a forgetfulness that Jesus Christ, the man who suffered, is now raised from the dead. He is the Lord who's descended from David. Danger one, disowning Jesus. Danger two is faithless, a lack of faith. This can't be right. We can't do this. This can't be the way, and we don't stick the course. Friends, we can avoid these dangers as we commit to deeply attending to remembering Jesus Christ. See, what will be one of the most necessary duties for you as you perhaps consider embarking on a journey of ministry? What will become one of the necessities that you have to fit into your life day by day and throughout the day? It will be remembering Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this evening, what are your habits of bringing to mind the gospel regularly? See, you kind of think, well, surely when you're a pastor, it's just, you think about it all the time, isn't it? That's what you're doing all day, every day. Well, yeah, you may be thinking about it, but you might not be thinking about it. Do you see the difference? Oh, yeah, look, I'm going to preach Jesus. What I do? I'm going to do a communion service. That's what we do. But are you underlining parts of the gospel that will help you to endure, that will remind you that Jesus is so good, he's worth suffering for, and that suffering is genuinely part of the path? There's all sorts of ways that we can help ourselves with that, aren't there? Just personally. Just taking time to not just rush through your Bible reading, but to pray it in. Songs are great. I personally just find songs that help us to slow down through the gospel. That even some of the songs we've been singing tonight, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Let that truth sink into your hearts. I introduced a word to our church recently. I like making up words, but it's the word rememitating. I just wondering, could you say that with me? Rememitating, which is kind of something the Bible calls us to do. It's the combination of remembering and meditating. But it's actually two halves of something we really must do. Rememitating, we've got to kind of crunch together. Just remembering something isn't enough. You actually have to chew on it. You have to let it sink into your hearts. So rememitating is the very thing we are to do. And how are you doing that? Friends, perhaps you're in some kind of suffering today. Perhaps you're here and in your journey you're being called to join with Paul, join with other Christians in suffering for the sake of ministry perhaps. Can I ask you, do you need to ramp up your remembering? Remembering Jesus Christ. So forgetfulness is my great problem. If forgetfulness is our great problem, then in ministry especially, remembering is my great need. Daily bringing to mind Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This, friends, is our gospel. And it is this that will help us endure to the end. Entwining my life daily with this glorious gospel is what will help us to keep going in our ministries. Friends, should we pray about that? And then I'll hand back over Adrian. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you so much tonight for the gospel. Father, we thank you. I was thinking particularly in John's gospel, where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the one who would help the disciples to remember all that Jesus said and spoke. And Father, if he did that for them, then we would simply ask, Holy Spirit, help us to be rememberers, to constantly bring to mind this gospel that has saved us, this promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, this glorious gospel of life and immortality that comes to us through faith in him. Father, please help us in our remembering to recall Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, the man who suffered, the man who bore in his body our sins. Father, help us to remember that he lives, that today, now, he is seated at your right hand interceding for us. Help us to remember that he reigns. Father, when the going gets tough, and Father, for some of us in this room it already is, Father, please would you help us to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. And we praise you for him in his name. Amen.